We'll have the second part here this morning out of 2 Timothy. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll have a third study in this little series out of 2 Timothy. This book, of course, is the last book that the Apostle Paul was used of God to write, right before he would face the death sentence, as history records by the removal of his head. Fox's Book of Martyrs records. So here he's writing from a prison in Rome. How to Live in Perilous Times is our series title. How to Live in Perilous Times. From that Roman prison, the Apostle Paul, here at the end of his life, pens the words here of 2 Timothy. We have a picture here of what may very well have been Paul's cell, where he penned these very words, in the Maritime prison there in Rome. And the year here is about AD 66. The infancy of the church. The Lord Jesus, more than 30 years earlier, having ascended back to heaven. The infancy of the church. Paul writes to a young pastor this second letter, to a man he had mentored, a young man he had with him travel on some of those missionary journeys he took. And now, as Timothy has been entrusted with the responsibilities of leadership there in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul writes this second letter to encourage a weary and a downtrodden Timothy. It appears that Timothy was pulling back a bit in the call that God had given him. It appears that Timothy was afraid and dealing with these challenges. It was a very difficult climate for him to minister in. And Paul writes to encourage this pastor, this servant of God. And we can learn some things from this letter, some very important things. And so I would like to find our place here in the scripture. We're going to read in chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 22, through the end of the chapter. The Bible tells us, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture, this letter that is penned here by the ancient apostle Paul. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit working and using Paul to write so many portions of scripture, but this one that we have opened before us this morning. I pray you'd teach us from this passage. I pray that you would help us, Lord, in these perilous times in which we live, to be all that you want us to be. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we should not be in fear in this world, for we have the hope. We have the one who has defeated death. We have the one who has defeated the enemy. We can advance forward in the cause of Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to stand true. Help us to not be distracted from our mission, from our calling. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How to Live in perilous times. In chapter 3 here, the Apostle Paul would reveal to us by the Holy Spirit that perilous times will come in the last days. There shall be troublesome, dangerous times. This is what the word perilous means. Troublesome and dangerous. We saw last week that these times would be characterized by self-centered selfishness. Self-centered selfishness, we saw in verse 2. We also saw that there would be a breakdown of respect for God and others. We saw there would be reckless and hateful times in the last days. Reckless and hateful times. We saw they would be truthless and irrational times. We saw that the last days would be characterized by pleasure-seeking, pleasure-worshipping, empty Christians. Empty Christians, quote-unquote, who would have a form, verse 5, of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we, as Timothy was told, to turn away from this empty, pleasure-seeking, pleasure-loving Christianity. And so, perilous times. We saw last week that the indication from the text here is that there was some discouragement. There was even some fear mounting up in Timothy's life. Back here in chapter 1, we saw the verse that is probably familiar to many of us. In chapter 1 here, noticing verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy here, he is encouraging Timothy to fear not. "Timothy, be not afraid. After all, Paul is sitting in jail. He's been persecuted for his faith in Jesus." And Timothy is facing persecution as well in the first century there. Nero would lead horrific persecutions, and just horrible situations were going on and were getting worse. And Paul encourages Timothy, perhaps in a preventative measure as well, "Timothy, do not fear." Imagine Timothy just shortly after receiving this letter, maybe hearing the news of Paul's death, that his head was taken from him. I don't know exactly the time difference between the receiving of the letter and the actual death of the apostle, but it wasn't long. And Paul was dead. The man, the mentor, the faithful servant of God was dead. And Timothy was left with these timeless words of truth, authored by the Holy Spirit, penned by the apostle. And he is admonished to not fear. "Timothy, you do not need to fear. Whatever the trial is, whatever the difficulties are we face in life, we do not need to have a spirit of fear. We ought not have a spirit of fear, for God has not given such a spirit. If we have a spirit of fear, it is not from God. For we should fear God only. We should respect and honor Him. But the Bible tells us God Himself has given us the ability, the power to do His will. He's given us the heart to love people who are unlovely. And He's given us the presence of mind to make right choices. We can have a sound mind, a clear mind, a wholesome mind. And so Timothy is admonished to step forward. The idea here of fear not, as we saw last week, is not fear not, hunker down, you know, hold the fort. The idea here is Timothy, don't be afraid to step out. Look at verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." Timothy, step forward and willingly suffer. Timothy, stand for Jesus in this perilous time. Timothy, stand for the truth in this truthless age. Timothy, hold firmly the word of God. Proclaim it boldly. And be willing to suffer because you take that stand. That is what Paul is saying to Timothy. courageously obey God. We see here, courageously obey God. And then we saw secondly last week from chapter 1, verse 13 and other verses, we are told, hold fast. And the point being, hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Timothy not only stepped forward without fear and obey God, but he's telling us here to hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Timothy, you've received the Word of God. You've received a sound biblical teaching and instruction. He's also encouraged in chapter 2, verse 15, to study that he might rightly divide the Word of truth. Familiar passage there as well to many of us. Timothy, be a student of the Scriptures. Preach the Word, Timothy. Don't preach men's opinions. Don't preach the popular teachings of the day. Preach the Word, Timothy. Be a student of the Bible. Hold the biblical truth tightly. And endure hardness. Chapter 2, verse 3. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And now we come today into the verses we read in chapter 2 with verse 22. Being the start, where we are admonished through the Apostle Paul to flee youthful lusts. What we're going to look at this morning in the next few minutes is flee sin, follow Christ, and engage in meekness. Flee sin, follow Christ, and engage in meekness. How are we to live in perilous times? How will we live? How does God want us to live in perilous times? For when Paul wrote this, he didn't say they were in the end times then, but he said in the end times, perilous times will come. In the last days, perilous times will come. And I believe we are certainly embarking on these last days, these perilous times. How will we live? How will we live? God, help us. God, help us to not have fear, but to step forward in obedience with courage to obey God. God, help us to hold His truth tightly. But now may God also help us, as Paul admonishes Timothy, to flee sin. Verse 22, flee sin, flee also youthful lusts. This is a present, active, imperative. Timothy, actively flee away. You must flee away from the corruptions of this world that would derail you. You must flee away from those temptations of your flesh. You must flee from sin. In this day, in this age, sin is so accessible. We can access it privately. We can access it. It's so available publicly, unashamedly. It's peddled in our world. But we, as God's people, in these perilous times are told to flee, to run, to get ourselves away from temptation, from sin, from youthful lusts. Youthful lusts. Now, I'm sure we could take time to make quite a list of youthful lusts. I just wrote down two main things that came to mind. Youthful lusts, of course, it is the words here are speaking of those lusts which are particularly a downfall for young people. Timothy was a young man. I'm sure he wasn't a teenager. He was older than that, but he was still in his youth, in the sense of a young man. And he is encouraged to flee youthful lusts. This doesn't exclude those who are not yet youthful. They also need to flee sin and the lusts that would be of their flesh. But the youth, many times fall because of such a desire to be accepted. Sometimes young people with such a desire to please others or to be popular or to be accepted, they go along to get along. They want to fit in. And Timothy, as you look at the whole scope of the situation here, Timothy's ministry would not be a fit-in ministry. It wouldn't be, okay, this is what's cool, this is what's popular, this is what the others are doing, so let's do it here at Ephesus. That was not the climate that would have been acceptable to God. Timothy is told here in chapter 4 to preach the word, notice verse 2, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Timothy, people won't want to listen to the preaching of the word any longer. They won't want to hear true biblical messages. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so Timothy here is once again in verse 5, he's encouraged to endure afflictions. And so when God says flee youthful lusts, I certainly believe it encompasses that Timothy needed to be careful to honor God, to seek to please and honor God and be faithful to Him and not to the popular winds of the day or the acceptance of his peers. Timothy was encouraged to not cater to the pressures of his society, of the peers around him, but he is to please the Lord. Another aspect that many times youth are so prone to fall at is to be short-sighted in their decisions. Short-sighted. Thinking, you know, they've got their whole life to live, right? I mean, a few bad decisions today, a few dangerous decisions today. What will it matter? They're invincible, right? Not realizing the effects, the long-term effects today's choices have. Maybe even in areas of purity, areas of dependability. Maybe it's even just in mere wastefulness of time. Short-sighted, wasting those precious years of their youth. And Timothy is encouraged, in a sense, to not waste his life, but to in another passage, he's encouraged to be an example of the believer. In word, in conversation, in purity, in faith, in charity. Don't despise your youth, Timothy. Don't despise your youth. Be an example. Redeem the time, Timothy. Walk in the Spirit. Notice, he is encouraged here as well as we are encouraged to flee from sin. There, in chapter 2, verse 22. Notice verse 21, the verse preceding it. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be, read those next four words with me, a vessel unto honor. A vessel unto honor. You know, that's what God wants us to be. In our youth, in our young adulthood, in our seniority, God wants us to be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet or acceptable for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Are we prepared? Are we preparing in our life? Are we preparing today for what God is going to have for us tomorrow? Or are we wasting this day? Are we just fiddling it away and really not going to be prepared for what's next? Timothy is encouraged to flee youthful lusts. Flee sin. He is encouraged to be a vessel unto honor. We too, in perilous times, must recognize these are not times to be wasted. This is time to live for God, to flee sin. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." In every area of our life, we ought to be godly. We ought to be holy. From our entertainment, to our amusements, to our work, to our thought life. We need to be godly, holy, flee youthful lusts. Timothy and we are encouraged by God, admonished with a present active imperative. Consider also the second aspect here in this point. Follow. Look at verse 22. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness." Now we have a list. We have a beautiful list here of what we are to follow. Timothy, what are you to follow? What is the servant of God to follow? What are we today to follow? What should we be following in perilous times? Well, God says we should follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow these things. We are to follow Christ. Follow Christ. This again is in a present active imperative. This is not optional. This isn't a suggestion. This is an emphatic statement. Timothy, you must do this. In these days of trial, in these days of danger, in these days of battle, flee sin, flee temptation, and follow Christ. Follow that which is righteous. A few looks at these words, that which is righteous. As I looked that up, what is righteous? It is that which is approved of God. Are you following that which God says? That's good. I approve that. Are you following in the things that God is pleased with? This is what righteousness is, those things that God approves. They are approved of God, that which is good and wholesome. Are we pursuing that? In these days, this is our focus, to pursue Christ. Notice the next word, faith. Faith. As I looked at this, these words came to the surface in a definition. Conviction of the truth. What is faith? Conviction of the truth. So what is Paul saying here by the Holy Spirit? He's saying you need to follow a deeper conviction of the truth. That you are becoming, you're growing more confident in this is the truth. And I know in the different scenarios of life, in the different trials of life, in the different issues of our world, that you discern truth and you stand by it. You hold tightly to what God's authoritative word says. A conviction of what is right. Growing deeper in truth. A fuller understanding of God's truth. And so, need to go deeper in the faith. That is what we need to do. Be righteous. Doing that which is approved of God. We need to go deeper in our conviction of the biblical faith. We need to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. Far too many would say, "Ah, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I learned that. Yeah, I read the Bible through." And they're sort of complacent right where they are, with a lot of head knowledge, but no real direction, pursuing a deeper walk with God. Charity is the next word here. Timothy is encouraged to follow charity. Charity is love. The word is agape. It is a deeper love for God and others, a willingness to sacrifice for God, a willingness to sacrifice for others. Love. Timothy, in perilous times, you need to follow a true love. A true love for God, a deeper love for others, a willingness to sacrifice, to help others. What are we to follow? We're to follow peace. Timothy, God is not calling us to be a rebel rouser. He's not calling us to stir up trouble. He's calling us to a life of peace. What are we to pray for our leaders, for our kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? Timothy, follow peace, harmony. That's not harmony at the expense of truth. That's not compromise of God's word. Not at all. Not at all. But seeking peace, seeking harmony with God's people. A unity. The Bible says in Psalm 133 verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then notice how this goes hand in hand with the next, no pun intended, goes hand in hand with the next encouragement Timothy receives. It says here that he's to follow with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow together with others who genuinely love God. Follow with others who are following Jesus. Timothy is encouraged to seek fellowship with other true and sincere believers, with who are truly following Christ. We read about in the early church in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were all of one accord in one place. Oh, how beautiful it is, the fellowship of God's people. In perilous times, God's people need to draw closer to one another. We need to be one another's friend and helper. We need to have that communion, that encouragement with one another. And so Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, encourages the servant of God in this way, to seek for fellowship with those who also are seeking God, calling upon God out of a pure heart. And so, flee sin, follow Christ. And thirdly, engage in meekness. Engage in meekness. Notice here in verse 23, Timothy is told, and we are instructed to avoid a foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strifes. We're not here for trivial arguments, trivial debates or discussions. Obviously, Timothy is told here, and we are instructed to hold to the Word of God, to study the Scriptures, to preach the Word. But specifically, Paul identifies several aspects of which we are to engage a troubled world. Verse 24, how should we engage a troubled world? In these perilous times, as a servant of the Lord, we must not strive. The word strive means to quarrel, to fight. In 1 Timothy, a similar thing was said that of this flee, follow, and the last word was fight. You might remember that. It's in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Timothy, flee, follow, fight. The good fight of faith. It was all good. It was all genuine. Could preach a message on that, how we should fight for the faith and fight the good fight of faith. And Paul will say here in the last chapter of this book, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But you know what? That would be in chapter 4, verse 7. But you know what? Here, the Holy Spirit wanted to emphasize to this servant of God to be gentle. I don't think Timothy was necessarily causing trouble or anything like that. I don't think he was quarreling with people. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize the fight of the Christian life, the fight for the truth, the fight of faith is not a quarrelsome fight. We're not trying to, in confronting sin, in confronting a perverted world and perverted people and trying to bring the hope of Christ to them, in confronting, we are not to be confrontational. We are to come with how? It says with gentleness. Be gentle unto all men. This is not just to the brethren. I think in focus here is the people you're trying to reach that are bound in sin. Be gentle unto all men. There is no one that we should not be gentle to. We know the teaching of the scripture from Jesus' mouth himself that we are to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate us. Right? And so we are to be gentle. Do you think if the Apostle Paul, when he was imprisoned in Philippi and beaten, do you think that if he would have been short and edgy and quarrelsome with the jailer, do you think the jailer, when the earthquake happened in Philippi there and the jail doors broke open, and do you think the testimony of that the jailer would have come to Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" If he had been edgy and quarrelsome and angry, obviously that wasn't his spirit, even though he was wrongly treated. But the Apostle Paul had a sweet spirit, even though he was bleeding. He praised God with Silas into the night, even though he was in pain. He rejoiced in tribulation. He was able to be gentle. We must. It doesn't matter who wrongs us. We cannot retaliate. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. He did me wrong. I'm going to show him. No, that's not the spirit. That's not the spirit that the servant of the Lord should have if they persecute us. If they attack us. Yes, stand on the truth. Yes, be faithful to the scriptures. But when Jesus was persecuted, when he was smitten, when he was bleeding, when he was scoffed at, when his hands were placed on that rugged beam and the spikes were nailed in, all that flowed out was not only blood, but it was the love of God for the sinful people all around him. Father, forgive them. This was not the normal response of the average criminal. They would curse. They would swear. They would condemn and be filthy. Of course, our Lord was altogether different. And so should we be altogether different as we serve Christ in dangerous times. Be gentle unto all men. That doesn't mean we're willy-nilly. That doesn't mean we don't stand for the truth. That, not at all. But our approach, our spirit, is one of gentleness. Notice it says apt to teach. The idea here is ready, looking for opportunity to teach God's truth. Ready to teach. Patient. The word patience here doesn't have the specific idea of enduring. It somewhat does, but it has the idea of forbearing and willing to suffer wrong. Willing to suffer wrong. I guess that's enduring as well. But the idea of willingly suffering wrong. In other words, someone wrongs you and you bear it calmly. Wow. Timothy, people are going to wrong you. They're going to jab you, whether literally, physically, or verbally. You must respond in the love of Christ. Be gentle. Look for opportunities to teach. Be patient. Notice verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. People are all mixed up. They're all backwards. They are their own worst enemy. Some people's greatest problems are themselves. And sometimes that's our biggest problems too. Ourselves. Sometimes we oppose ourselves. We're so oppositional to our own success. Our stubbornness, our unwillingness to follow the Lord. Sometimes we hinder the work of God in our own life. But the world, how much more? And so Timothy here is instructed to, with meekness, to instruct those that oppose themselves. Meekness is the idea of strength under control. I think a great picture of meekness is a strong, large-built man holding his newborn baby. Just a gentle, with those strong hands, that man can gently hold that fragile little life. That's meekness. Very strong, much strength available, but it's handled in such a gentle manner. Another example of meekness is a lubricant. Lubrication. The motors in our cars, in our trucks, the great semis that roll up and down this land are lubricated with oil. That oil is the meekness that diffuses the friction, diffuses the heat. And that's how we are to engage with a troubled world. Not abrasive. Well, we confront. Let's not be confrontational. While we labor and stand for the truth, we are not to be quarrelsome. And some will be rescued. Notice what the verse says in the middle of verse 25. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, we will accomplish far more with the Spirit of Christ than we will as a big bully. You cannot cram truth down someone's throat, but you can gently seek to teach them. And some will believe. Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. People are bound. That person who does you wrong, that person who says that snippety little remark to you that gets under your skin, they're in trouble. They're helpless. Won't someone come and gently seek to minister to them? This is what God is calling us to be. Willing to suffer wrong. That we would be gentle. And so, as we draw this to a close, we've seen these three aspects. Flee. In verse 22, flee. Flee sin. Flee the lusts of the flesh. Follow. Follow. Follow that which pleases God. Follow a deeper walk with God. Deeper faith and conviction of the truth. Follow love. Follow peace. Follow fellowship with God's people. And number three, engage in meekness. With strength, with a strong stand, yes, on truth, engage to help people in need. Fight the good fight of faith with gentleness, praying that God would bring those to repentance and faith in our Lord. And so, let us have this mind, this spirit. So how are we going to live in perilous times? We're going to flee. We're going to follow. And we are going to engage in meekness. This is God's prescription. Maybe you're tuning in and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you have some questions. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're joining online, we'd love to get you the help you need and answer your questions. And most importantly, make sure that you've trusted Christ, that you know what it means to be saved. You can be saved. God can give you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so you contact us, and may we be faithful servants of His. Each of us. May we embrace His call. Flee from sin. Follow Christ. And engage with meekness. Let's be gentle Christians. Faithful Christians of our Lord.